Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That's this one, Alabama. I'm talking about, man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to say this before we go on. During the breaks, you hear advertising, right? You hear the ads playing. Listen, that's part of how Right Side Radio is able to be here right now. So the reason why we exist is because of folks like you that listen. But the way that we exist is by doing the usual things a business does and developing the revenue streams to support us. We are a standalone entity. We are not owned by the stations that we're on. So when you're listening to Right Side Radio, just know that part of it that supports the show is the advertising. And if you would like to advertise because you listen to the show and think, dang, this feller's got it going on. Right Side Ruffians. Well, and if you believe the show is doing what you want your business aligned with, come on. We'd love to have you on the team. But you don't call the station to do it. You call us, all right? So go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message, and we will jump right on it. We'd love to have you on the team. Rightsideradio.org, advertising. Several more text messages before I switch gears. John from Huntsville says, I feel like after that very last rude caller, I just need to say thank you, Butters and Phil, for your service, and that caller will definitely not be receiving an A-plus from me. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Thank you. Appreciate you, John. Shane from Madison. Long text. Let's see if I can get part of it here. Leadership from the top down. Leadership from the top down in this country, I think he's trying to say, is a joke. Biden and his minions are ruining this country. Politics have no place in the military, and that's exactly where we are now. I'm sure the Secretary of the Army is a smart person, but smart to be in a position like that takes someone with experience, and that kind of leadership is just not someone who checks the blocks. I pray that someone with sense is elected in 24 and can get this great country back on track. We join you in that, Shane from Madison. Thank you much. Joe from Birmingham. We fight for the First Amendment. It's a republic if we can keep it. Keep fighting, Phil. Joe in Birmingham. Thank you, brother. Bob from Madison, he had that thing a moment ago about the chemicals. He also said, I served spying on Russia. My father served in World War II on an aircraft carrier. Both my boys served Iraq, Africa, Afghanistan. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your entire family. Appreciate all your service. Brandy from Athens, give you an A double plus for that one. That caller was one snowflake shy of being a blizzard. I think we might need a t-shirt with that on it. It's hilarious. Mike from Muscle Shoals says in all caps, Phil! Exclamation points. Texted, I didn't catch if that caller served or not. Phil, that's because he didn't. And then just laughs. Ha 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 ha. Said your delivery of that line, Phil, was Hartman level perfect. Thank you, brother. All right, let me switch gears. That's enough. I got to do one more thing. Butters did a thing. Butters put up an ongoing right now, survey.
A poll.
A survey, a poll. Yep. Yeah, so on Twitter, it's only on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, then there's two places you can find it. One is the place where we broadcast the show live video streaming is at RS Ruffian, at RS Ruffian. There's a poll. The other place is reposted onto my page right now. That is @SEN, that's S-E-N, @SEN, Phil Williams. The poll is simply, have you or a loved one served in the military? And if yes, are you a first generation or not? We've got about, several folks have already found the poll and done their piece. But right now it's, people are second and third generation.
And it's meeting about the numbers that you saw in your research.
Yeah, it's true, actually, yeah. Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to develop some of that because we got taken over by text messages and callers. But yes, the stats that I had in one of the articles I didn't even get to, I think it was the Wall Street Journal piece that I was actually holding in my hot little hands when the caller called in, was that roughly 80% of today's military are serving in the wake of someone else in their family having already served, meaning it's a legacy. And I find that to be, you know, I can relate to it, I guess is what I'm saying. You can too. All right. Catch your breath, Phil.
Dipper number two.
Dipper number two. I just feel like I need to reset. What did you say during the break? You said you may have to force stop.
Yes. I think if we keep going, they'll keep going.
I could. All right. Hey, here's the deal. In a minute, by the way, I actually pushed him back a little bit. Justin Bogey was extremely accommodating from the Alabama Policy Institute. He's going to call in at 4 o'clock. He was scheduled to call in at 3:30. But so here's number two of the Triple Dipper. Here comes the Fed. You know, the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution does exist for a reason. 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution does allow that a state, in the absence of federal law to the contrary, is allowed to make laws on behalf of its citizens and has a sovereign right to do so. Paraphrase, but there it is. The fact is, though, the federal government is at times a necessary evil. At times it's a necessary good. I mean, we're integrated, all right? It's a symbiotic relationship. I'm not trying to say, let's secede from the union, but what I am saying is this. There are times when the federal government needs to know its place, and there are times when it's obvious that it gets a little too uppity, and we're in one of those times. We're in a big government administration that President Biden, by his own admission, calls an all-of-government approach to his agendas, meaning he will launch every department it takes to get to, I don't know, pick one, green energy, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Just go down the list of woke agenda items, you know, pulling away from oil and gas and going to sustainable energy solutions or whatever. But what's happening more often than not is we are beginning to see that the federal government is also costing the state of Alabama, among other states, but the state of Alabama is costing us a great deal of revenue. And it's a constant series of interruptions in the flow. Now, they might sit up there and go, well, Phil, there are necessary things that we have to impose upon you because Alabama does not have its act together, says you. So here's one. And by the way, one of the things that we've got is that Justin Bogey is going to call in at top of the hour, and we're going to talk about some of the dollar signs attached to this. He's going to help me with some of the breakdown of this. Justin's a great guy for this, director of fiscal analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute, and used to work at the Legislative Fiscal Office in Montgomery and on Capitol Hill. He worked, and then he also worked for the Heritage Foundation, and now he's at API. Story here on 1819 News, though. Here's the first of my examples, if you will, of Here Comes the Fed. You might be interested to know that apparently the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, that's ADEM, that ADEM has been somewhat racist in the application of dollars to improve sewage systems. Well, there you have it. Because you all know, if the word racism gets thrown out there, it must be real. That's the way it works. In Biden's America, if they precede things by saying, well, but you understand racism, then basically you might as well stop the argument. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, that's the EPA, that's Fed, announced on Tuesday it's investigating whether or not ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, engaged in racial discrimination when it distributed funding for sanitation infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Because I feel certain, Butters, that what actually happened, I wish the camera could have seen your face just then. I feel certain that what happened is that someone in Montgomery sat there and said, you know, let's make sure that whatever we do, we make it harder for black people to flush toilets. That's what's happened. I feel certain. Well, that's the allegation, just so you know. The Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, now I understand. The SPLC, the organization that put Moms for Liberty on the hate group list. Yeah. I'm not sure what you're typing for me, but the bottom line is, oh yeah, that's all good. The bottom line is the Southern Poverty Law Center has now filed a claim And they're noted in this article as being a far-left litigation organization, which has faced criticism about hypocrisy in their own webs, work environments. But the ADEM suit complains that ADEM prevented black residents from accessing federal SRF support to improve on-site sanitation access in violation of Title VI, of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The letter claims the EPA will now specifically investigate whether ADEM's implementation of Clean Water State Revolving Fund monies excludes from participation, denies benefits to, or subjects to discrimination residents in the Black Belt region of Alabama on the basis of race. I'm going to go ahead and hazard that no, that didn't happen. Listen, having worked in Montgomery, having interacted with ADEM, I never once had anybody say, well, we have to first examine your race before we can do that. In fact, what they look at is, we have X amount of resources. Where can we apply them? Does politics get involved sometimes? Yeah, go look at road building projects. But what we're not seeing right now in Alabama is an overwhelming disparagement of people based on race in terms of getting money for sanitation. And I'm pretty sure some of the areas of the state they're talking about getting the grants got more grant money than virtually anybody else. In fact, the article confirms that. 34% of the $463 million wastewater drinking water funding went to counties in the Black Belt. That's a pretty sizable chunk. It's over one-third. And then you have to look at it and go, okay, but wasn't there a lot of corruption in some of those counties? There was. So maybe you might want to look and see where the money went once they got it. But at the same time, what this is going to wind up being, if there are federal funds that were being administered through ADEM, then I guarantee you the Biden administration is going to wind up putting stringers on this and holding it up. And that's going to cost the state of Alabama. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, I got to tell you, one of the next things we're looking at here is, are we losing money on the court mandates from the federal government to build prisons? Darn right we are. Or what about offshore oil and drilling, or oil drilling? Well, you know how the Biden administration feels about that. Did you know that that puts money in our coffers? All of it. Here comes the Fed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense like a friggin' superpower. So I'm in number two of the triple dipper. Here comes the Fed. So the federal government has a way of imposing its will, and usually what that means is it's going to cost you some money. I just told you about the ADEM situation, and I would guarantee you you're going to wind up seeing the choking off of necessary funds. And we'll just see how all that goes. Here's another one. We haven't talked about it in a while on the show, and probably should. But you know that, first of all, Alabama is in the middle of a decade-long litigation related to prisons. And granted, our prisons are in bad shape. Our prisons need to be fixed, need to be replaced. It's getting so out of control. A part of what we're dealing with is the federal court demanding that we have to build new prisons. And then the stringers begin to get at it. And they have to have these kind of facilities. And they have to have these kind of facilities. And they also, by the way, have to have... And at some point, you begin to look at it and go, holy crap. And next thing you know, we're looking at trying to build new prisons and do so in a way that won't break the bank. So the federal government, through the court system, is mandating that Alabama build new prisons. Okay. so we're going to build them. Except that the federal government right now is being run by the Biden administration, which has caused epic 40-year levels of inflation. And the cost of building materials is a part of the problem we've got right now. So just a couple of years ago, the legislature passed legislation and put money in to build prisons. Well, and then federal courts got involved. Pray tell, how could this be? Because there was a rush to the, you know, to the judgment of what was considered woke enough, and you just don't want to be involved in certain things. Trends began to happen around the nation. The Biden administration mollycoddled wokeists left and right. Next thing you know, you've got ESG being promoted by the Biden administration, environmental, social, and governance, right? ESG in banking. Well, what does that do? It makes banks scared of anything that doesn't fit ESG criteria. We had been working on bond issues to construct these new prisons, only to have liberals who demanded that we build the prisons and take us to federal court, then go to the banks and threaten them with doxing and threaten them with, you know, any number of bad pieces of publicity if they funded the bonding. Really? Banks pulled out. The companies who won the bids could not get the bids or could not get the financing. Why? Because the banks were scared of being branded under what the Biden administration was promoting, which is ESG. At the same time, the Biden administration's policies are driving inflation through the roof. So the legislature had to appropriate funds that could have gone to other things. And they developed the Alabama Corrections Institution Finance Authority and approved $1.08 billion to, $1 billion to build two prisons. Except that they just recently had to up that. It's now going to cost roughly $1 billion under current materials costs to build one of them. We are now looking at double what we were going to pay. All of this, by the way, is a part of the overall swirl of what happens when liberals control the federal government. Now, I'm not going to argue too hard on the point that we need new prisons. When I was in the legislature, I argued that we did need new prisons. I believe that. I've toured St. Clair County Correctional Facility. I've been to see some other facilities, and I'm just going to tell you, we need them. We do. Having them shoved down our throats with all the new federal stringers attached to them, and then having a federal government that promotes policies that caused the bidders to then lose their financing so they couldn't build it, causing the state of Alabama to then have to put tax dollars into it up front, and then, oh, by the way, have that double because of the policies of the federal government. Well, here comes the Fed, and there go your tax dollars. $1 billion for one prison in Elmore County, just approved by the Finance Authority the other day. How about this one? With barely a minute, I'll just remind you that, you know, oil and gas means something. It's part of what runs the nation, right? The Biden administration hates the oil and gas industry. It's part of the ESG and the green initiatives. And then on top of that, you may not know it, Alabama makes a ton of money off of this. So offshore oil and gas leases in the Gulf of Mexico in Alabama's territorial waters put hundreds of millions of dollars on a regular basis into what's known as Alabama's Rainy Day Trust Fund. The Biden administration has throttled the ability to do oil and gas exploration in our Gulf. What does that do to Alabama? Well, besides driving up the price at the pump for the average citizen, it also means that you're seeing less revenue, very likely, coming into your oil and gas. I'm going to confirm that, hopefully, with Justin Bogey in a minute, but I believe that's correct. So here comes the Fed, and y'all, it's a freaking mess. And I'm looking at some of the stuff thinking, every time the federal government under the Biden administration shows up, the state of Alabama has to write a check. I didn't even get into what's happening with the new congressional maps and the fact that the city of Mobile is now split in half, what that's doing. It's just obnoxious, in my opinion, that the Biden administration's policies can say one thing, demand another thing over here, make you have to find your way between all the competing narratives, and, oh, by the way, write a check when you do. That's where we are. Here comes the Fed. Coming right back, Justin Bogey, Director of Fiscal Analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute. Give us some readout on what he's seeing in the numbers about some of this stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. It's almost go home time on a Friday afternoon. We're glad you're with us. It's been a lively show thus far. And I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I've been calling it Here Comes the Fed. And I told you about the EPA getting involved in whether or not there's been a distribution of funds involving racism. And then I also talked about briefly what's happened with offshore oil and gas drilling being slowed by the Biden administration. Could that have an impact on our coffers? And then the Elmore prison construction now looks like it's going to eclipse the $1 billion mark. Every time the federal government gets involved, it seems like we have to write a check. And that's your tax dollars, by the way. Well, there's a friend of mine who knows where all the numeric bones are buried. So Justin Bogey is the director of fiscal analysis for the Alabama Policy Institute. He's also, by the way, got a long history kind of researching and knowing and working in this stuff. I mean, he spent time with the Legislative Fiscal Office in Montgomery. He spent time up on Capitol Hill in D.C., and he spent time with the Heritage Foundation and now with API. And he's on the line right now. Justin Bogey, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing well. It's good to be with you this afternoon.
Thanks, man. And by the way, thanks for your flexibility. I appreciate you pushing it to 4 o'clock. That meant a lot. We had a hot topic going there for a bit.
Sure. No problem at all.
So let me ask you, Justin. I mean, I'm looking at this, and you and I have been in plenty of meetings together, had plenty of conversations. It would seem to me that every time the federal government gets involved in Alabama's business, we write a check. Am I right in saying that? I mean, that's just the way it feels.
I think that's generally the way, just generally speaking, that's the way it is. Anytime states are taking money or doing anything really involving the federal government, there's always going to be strings attached to it. It's going to control how you can spend any money that you're getting from the federal government. It's going to mean that you're going to have to put up state dollars to match that money in order to draw it down. And a lot of times it becomes much more expensive. And, you know, there's lots of good examples. This prison thing, obviously the oil and gas revenues are a part of it. Medicaid expansion, yes, one reason Alabama hasn't expanded Medicaid among, you know, several. But certainly the more you're drawn down from the federal government, the more control they have over what you can do with that money, the limitations you can and cannot put on programs and that kind of stuff. So it definitely all plays together.
Well, so let me ask you this, Justin, and I'll take them like one or two at a time. If you want to jump in on something else, you just let me know. But you know, so let's take the prison thing first. So the federal government has mandated that Alabama build new prisons, and we need them. I mean, they're in bad shape. I get that. You got to have a place to incarcerate people who have been convicted. So, okay, but then we've got ESG policies being touted by the Biden administration that makes the banks leery when the liberals freaked out about the bond issues or the borrowing for the companies that were going to build the prisons. So they lost their financing. So we had to put money in. And now because of Biden's policies, the prisons cost twice as much. I mean, what are you seeing on this, and how much are we going to spend?
Well, there's several factors at play here. Part of it is, you know, Alabama knew this was a problem for probably the last decade or so, and we waited a long time to do anything about it. So that part of it is certainly, you know, some of the responsibility falls on Alabama. But we had a deal to privately finance these prisons, you know, two or three years ago, which basically fell through because of ESG-type pushback against banks who were going to, you know, basically front the money. We were going to lease it from them over, you know, a 30 or 40-year period. So we ended up having to go to the private market. I mean, we ended up doing it publicly through a bond sale and some stimulus funding. We put up $400 million in stimulus funding, tried to do about a $785 million bond issuance to pay for the rest of it. That fell through. It ended up being about $525 million. So, you know, a big gap there. And now what we're seeing is that the costs have just escalated. And, you know, originally the Elmore County prison, for example, was supposed to be in the $620 million range.
Right.
Then it got bumped up to about $975 million. Now we're bumping it up again over $1 billion. The entire cost of building two prisons was supposed to be $1.3 billion. So we're way over at this point, and obviously the costs are going to continue to escalate as we get further along with the second prison.
Well, let me ask you this. So we are still scheduled to build at least two prisons, right? I mean, it's not like we just kind of say, well, we ran out of money. We're going to have to do it because of capacity alone, right?
Yeah, we really don't have any choice. You know, the mandate from the federal government was basically increase your staffing by X amount, which we have not really made much progress on doing. Or, you know, the theory was you build these two new prisons, they have more advanced technology, you don't need as many people to staff those prisons, you don't need as many prison guards or correctional officers, that kind of thing. So really, we're at a point where we have no choice. We're already, you know, down the road into building both of these facilities. There's another one in Escambia County that's still in the design phase. But these two prisons are going to be built regardless. And you know, ultimately, taxpayers are going to have to pay the cost, whether that be through another bond issuance where we're paying this off over the next 30 years or so. Or, you know, there's already been talk. The general fund looks like it's going to have a $300 or $400 million surplus going into 2024. You know, the new fiscal year just started. So hundreds of millions of dollars of that surplus could potentially go back into the prisons to pay for some of these cost increases, you know, which they're blaming a lot of it on, you know, kind of expanding the design and inflation and that kind of thing, which certainly would increase the cost. But when this prison deal was passed, you know, a year and a half or so ago, inflation was really at its highest point then or near its highest point. So, you know, some of that really shouldn't have come as a surprise either.
Wow. I mean, this whole thing just seems like it never ends. But before we run out of time, though, I want to switch gears on you on another one that just gets under my skin. People don't realize that Alabama actually earns money from the offshore oil and gas exploration in our territorial waters in the Gulf of Mexico. And the Biden administration has been crushing that. What do you see in numbers wise? Am I correct that we're losing money? I mean, we're talking tens of millions a year.
Yeah, I think there could potentially be a revenue loss on this, and there's a couple of components to it. You know, obviously you have the kind of state waters, the 3 miles off the coast, Mobile Bay mainly, where there's a lot of oil and gas production, and that brings in, you know, roughly $70 million or so a year, but all that money goes into the Alabama Trust Fund, which was, you know, set up almost 40 years ago now, but it feeds a lot of other things, and the investment income off the Alabama Trust Fund, some of that money is transferred to the general fund. Yeah, I think in total there were about $122 million or so in transfers last year. It's supposed to be higher than that the next several years, over $100 million going towards the general fund eventually. So if you cut down on the amount of money that the Alabama Trust Fund has to, you know, put back, reinvest, and that income starts to slow down, less money for the general fund, less money for all of those general fund agencies. So there certainly could be an impact there. And then you also have the further offshore component. You know, Alabama is part of this treaty with three other states. It's what they call GOMESA, but basically for the oil-producing states in the Gulf of Mexico, they get a cut of all the federal royalties that are coming in. And I think Alabama got about $50 million or so last year, all of that really going to Baldwin and Mobile County. So by reducing the number of leases, reducing new royalties, then certainly there could be an impact in those communities as well.
Wow. I mean, so you're not just impacting state coffers, which you just labeled them. You're also potentially impacting the ability of two of the most populous counties in Alabama to expand, maintain budgets, set aside funds, whatever the case may be. So basically, when the Biden administration says they want to crush the oil and gas industry and they start doing things like this, it's not just impacting people's price at the pump. It's actually impacting revenue streams to the state of Alabama and its communities.
Right. And a lot of these dollars, you know, especially the Alabama Trust Fund dollars, you know, they're not going back into just roads, bridges, that kind of thing. They're really going into capital projects in cities and counties, parks, you know, some road maintenance. You know, there's a lot of things that it goes to, but it's things that you could certainly notice, you know, going being neglected, or you may not get the new park in your neighborhood, or whatever's important to you because of this, because you're talking about taking tens of millions of dollars away from those projects potentially. So it could absolutely have an impact.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I anticipated as much, but it always hurts when the numbers guy comes in and confirms the loss.
Well, I believe it's all kind of still being challenged in court, so who knows how long that takes to play out and what happens, but it certainly has the potential to have a fairly big impact on the state.
And listen, with about a minute and a half to go, you may not have an answer to this, so I'm putting you on the spot, and I know it. But I saw that the Biden administration decided to go with offshore wind farm leases in trying to sort of get away from the oil and gas exploration in our Gulf of Mexico. They only had three leaseholds. Only one of them even had a bidder. Are we going to get revenue off of that too? Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't have a definitive answer. As far as I know, there's what's stipulated in Alabama law is just strictly oil and gas exploration. So that would be a whole new thing. I don't know if there's any federal provision to give some of that money back to the Gulf, the same kind of thing that the Gulf states will get money off of that. I don't know off the top of my head. But if they're generating energy in place of oil and gas from the Gulf, then you would think we should. But I don't have a definitive answer.
Well, I guess if Biden's involved, then we're probably not going to make a dime. But there's
probably not.
That's
probably a safe bet. They found a way around our oil and gas dollars. So that's probably it.
No kidding. Just an edumacated guess, but. Well, Justin, yeah. Man, listen, you have a great weekend. Thanks again for your flexibility. We appreciate you being here today and bringing the bearer of bad news. But thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Glad to be with you. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, buddy. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. And, I think I'm going to get there, Butters. I think I'm going to get to Adventures in Woke World. I think we have to. I think we have to shift the tone.
And it's got to be fun.
There's a few fun ones in there. Some of them ain't so fun, but some of them are. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.